What is up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Inside the Pocket after a week-long hiatus, and we miss you guys very much. This week, we're going to talk about the past couple weeks and what we've been up to, some fantasy football and other NFL stories, NHL, and some baseball talk, our wow stories of the week, what we would do if we were president, some crazy conspiracy theories, we dug deep for some Tinder talks, some debatables, and we will end with our beer review. Let's go.
Welcome to Inside the Pocket. It's your host, Austin Robinson, and with me as always, Gavin, my co-host.
What's up, guys? As always, we are brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri. 109 beers on tap, amazing food, and amazing people, so be sure and stop in. You can also pick yourself up an Inside the Pocket t-shirt along with your badass food. Austin, how's your week been, man?
Well, we actually have 2 weeks.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks of stuff. Unfortunately, we had some scheduling conflicts and stuff like that, so we weren't able to do an episode last week, but we're going to make it
up to you guys. We were living. Can we live?
Can we live a little bit?
Can we live?
We're trying to enjoy ourselves a little bit, and we are leading up to the official launch on iTunes.
Yeah.
And so we took a week off, so fuck us, I guess.
Yeah, work sucks.
It was definitely a hell week at work. One of those things where it's like, we have 6 weeks of work we got to get done in 4 days. So,
all right.
Yeah, let's go. And so it was definitely, I was literally coming home and just falling asleep and sleeping till the next day. Like, I couldn't stay awake.
Yeah.
I was so exhausted. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the like intermittent fasting, although it's going well for me,
yeah,
it definitely left me with not a lot of energy while at work. However, I jumped on that Addy train again for a little bit, and that definitely picked me up and helped me get me through a couple days.
Nice.
I actually like felt great.
I got a new tank for my vape, actually, from the vape store. They went ahead and cut me a little Dissy County.
Yeah.
On it, and it's really nice. It's fucking huge, though.
No, it definitely looks like you got Iron Man attached to the end.
Yeah, it does. It looks like it's a goddamn spaceship at the bottom of it, but it's pretty banger. I've been working in Westport, and I realized that there's almost fucking nothing to do in Westport. I always thought like Westport is like a place like had a lot of stuff.
No, it's really like a business.
It's really not. There's like 3 bars and then a Fuzzies.
Yeah. But after that hellacious week, we did have a nice weekend off. We got in some golf this morning. Didn't play that good.
No.
It was a little rainy and dingy. Didn't play that good. Didn't play god-awful. There were a couple dudes ahead of us that
were
Jesus
bad.
Christ, they were terrible. I know Austin has been like, I feel like he's just trying to be encouraging sometimes with me being brand new to it, but he's just like, no, there's a couple people that have probably played for a while and are terrible.
Yeah, they were, I mean, they'd take about 14 practice shots before they even lined up with their ball.
And not even just the drive, like every shot they took.
Yeah.
So we literally at one time were caught up to them and would sit on the golf cart for a good 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
Then got up to drive and they're still down there. Then they move up to the actual hole, so we decide to drive and get down the field a little bit, and we get down there and then we have to wait another 10 or 15 minutes for them to make their putts.
Yep.
It was like, holy shit, guys, can we get this fucking moving?
Yeah. I don't know how many shots they're putting on the course, but that kid probably swung the club
a million times.
Yeah, I saw him swinging all day long, but I never saw him hit a fucking ball.
And so we did get some nice new threads, so we'll be looking good next time.
Yeah, we went out and spent some money.
And I'm throwing around getting new clubs, but being as new as I am, I don't want to just throw a bunch of money into it. Right off the get-go.
Throw it all in there. Just $2,000, lop it down, get that shit,
and just
be angry that you're not better.
Yeah.
And just have different clubs.
And then at least people will be like, damn, that dude's got some nice shit.
It's not about being the best golfer, it's about being the best looking golfer. That's what I used to say when I was in high school, when I played, and I was an awful golfer, but I would always have my nice Oakleys, and my shirt was nice, and just matted on me good, and I always ironed my pants, so my pants were perfectly straight, and I had I'd even wear this jacket sometimes that I'm wearing now. People are like, oh, that's a fancy jacket. That's a real cool jacket that kid's wearing.
They're so like, even if you weren't doing good, you look so good. They were like, man, guy must just be having an off day because he looks
great. Yeah, yeah. He looks fantastic. He looks wonderful. And I have long hair then, too. And it would curl around my hat. That was when I had, like, the real long hair on all sides. So it was, like, curling around my hat. I had my glasses. I looked like a golf stud. If you worked at that clubhouse, you were wet when I came in.
Well, you know what would... made me wet this week.
What's that?
Was I had to take the Jeep up to get the... I went in for an oil change and tire rotation, but I hadn't rotated the tires in a while. I kind of neglected it, and they were like, yeah, you need new fucking tires. So I'm like, fuck. God damn it. Okay, put them on there. And so they were like, if you buy... you know, three of these, you get the fourth one free. So I was like, all right, cool, let's do it. Then they came up later and was like, if you apply for, or they were like, we're going to give you the oil change for free today since you came in for an oil change and now you're having to buy four tires. We're going to do your alignment for you. And if you pay this, then we'll do free alignments for life on the vehicle.
Oh,
and since you're buying the tires up at Plaza Tire.
Right.
And so since I was buying new tires, they gave me my oil change for free since that's what I actually went in there for.
Right.
Then he comes back later and was like, hey, if you apply for the credit card, you can get 50% off today instead of the normal like 20% off. I'm like, I guess let's do it. So they went up there and they were like, well, you have to be approved to get the discount. I was like, just let's go. And so the guy ran it and my total was only going to be like $600. When he ran it, he goes, oh, you got approved for $2,200. I was like, yeah, figures. And so he's like, yeah, normally people like just get enough to cover what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I have really good fucking credit. And he was like, oh, looks like it. So it was,
did you say it like that too? I got really good fucking credit. So that guy, he's like, oh.
No, I was just kind of like, yeah, my credit's pretty good. And he was like, oh, I guess so. And so I basically got four new tires, lifetime alignments, and an oil change for $300. So that's pretty fucking good.
Not bad. What kind of tires are they?
They're not like cheap tires. They're, I don't know the actual brand.
They slap some big old thick old Wranglers
on
that bitch.
They were all weather since it's the Jeep and we have to, always got to make sure we get to work. But yeah, having good credit is pretty fucking banger. And if you don't have it, I feel bad for you.
Who would have guessed? Good credit means good things.
Good credit means good things.
Good things. For anybody in the local area that wants to find something to do, I went and actually talked to the owners at Two Plumbers in St. Charles. I talked to them for a little bit and they asked if I would give them like a little shout out here. They don't want it all the time, but they're like, hey, mention us because we're new. And I was like, okay. It's Two Plumbers in St. Charles. I actually don't know the actual address. Just look up Two Plumbers. It's an arcade bar and brewery. They brew their own beers there and it's full of fucking video games and it was really fun. I had a blast.
We'll have to be sure and send it to them because, I mean, we currently have an official sponsor that's a bar, and they take pretty good care of us. And so all we're saying is, you know, this could turn into a little bidding war. You know?
Ooh, maybe in the future. He just wanted one. He said, could we do one? And I was like, I'll just give you a shout. I'm not going to sell anything for you. Yeah, but
I haven't been there yet, but any of my friends that have been there said it's an amazing place.
It was fun.
So I do want to check it out. So Two Plumbers, brewery and bar.
Arcade
bar.
It doesn't even say that. It just says brewery and arcade.
Okay, so Two Plumbers, brewery, and arcade.
Yeah.
St. Charles. I believe it's off First Capital.
Sure.
Check it out. Look it up. Use Google, motherfuckers. You're lazy. But is that all we got for our little ins and outs of the week?
You already hit that golf sucked, so yeah.
Yeah, golf was terrible.
Yep, golf, definitely not a fun time. Yeah, we can go ahead and jump right into the things that are happening in 38 days, and that's for the NFL.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty fucking excited.
You have no idea.
Social media is starting to pop off on all the teams, and news is getting big.
They're just sending like the little like 7-second clips of players at minicamp doing like a cut move, and you're like, ooh, they look so good.
Until they're like, oh, he tore his ACL.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, well, fuck. Okay. Maybe cut a little too hard.
Why don't you open us up with your first NFL story?
This actually happened 2 weeks ago since we took the little break. Fighting Cancer, an amateur flag football team beat Godspeed, which was full of all ex-NFL players, for $1 million. And they won 26-6. It wasn't even close.
Wasn't this the one that... So this is like a pro flag football team?
Yes.
Like that's all they play versus ex-NFL pros?
Yes. And it was multiple teams of ex-NFL pros that faced each other, and then multiple teams of amateur flag football pros who faced each other, and then the winners of both divisions would face for the $1 million.
Now, is that thing I heard him talking about on Pat McAfee's show in the interview one? He's like, you better not lose to those amateurs.
Yeah, and those they lost, yes. Yeah.
So the guys that play flag football definitely know how to play flag football.
Yes, however, that's where I'm about to say. There is a couple of stipulations. Stiff arming's illegal.
Okay.
It's called, they call it flag protection. So, like, if somebody's coming in and you stiff arm them, they say you're, like, batting away from a flag. You're not allowed to do that. And almost every play, the NFL team, someone stiff arms someone. Because that's, like, their instinct.
Yeah.
But the other team never even would put their arms out. Yeah. They would knew not to do it.
And that just comes down to what you're used to.
Yeah. And that was a huge part of it. If that wasn't a thing, there's a good chance that they would have been in the game. Yeah. That was it for that. It came to a real end because, yeah.
That's all you had in your notes?
No. I got more NFL stuff, but I was going to let you, you know.
Well, that was a great transition, let me tell you. I'm going to go ahead and jump on to Julio Jones' holdout ended last week.
I actually had that, and I can't talk about it. That's why I went, because it was Julio holding out, but it closed.
Obviously, I'm going to cover this story because he's my bro on the Falcons, and he reported to training camp. Quinn said, kind of acted like he knew he was going to show up for practice, so he wasn't really worried about it, but they did get his extension through. He's been watching a ton of film with Matt Ryan and go over what they can improve on, so kind of like how Austin Hooper's been, it sounds like everybody's pretty much going to Matt Ryan saying, what do we need to do to fix what we did last year? And so the team feels like they're definitely going to put on a lot better showing than they did last year. That kind of like Super Bowl hangover type deal.
Yeah.
He's feeling 100% healthy after the past couple years. He dealt with like a bad left toe the Super Bowl year and was kind of on and off. Like they weren't sure. And then last year he actually had a bad ankle that was ailing him. But he feels like he's 100% now. Some of the stats that I pulled off at ESPN.com said that Ryan targeted Jones for 25-plus yard downfield last season. Anytime he targeted him for a throw that was above 25 yards down the field, he had just 4 receptions for 177 yards with 1 touchdown.
This was last year, right?
Yeah.
I saw him drop a lot.
Yeah, one of those was that drop that was supposed to secure a touchdown against Carolina that he threw for 39 yards. And then the year before, Ryan threw 17 times to Julio, which he had 6 receptions for 259 yards with 1 touchdown and no drops during the Super Bowl season. So they had a lot worse season last year, and I know I kind of got fucking dogged on because I talked about how shitty of a season that he had because he accumulated 1,400 yards total, but the amount of drops that he had and the amount of yards on the long balls was way worse last year than the year before, and that needs to be fixed because, like I said, I don't worry. I know the yards are a big thing, but touchdowns are also a big thing too. They need to put him in a position to score these touchdowns. He only had 3 last year, 3 touchdowns. Ryan went 1-for-18 to passes in the end zone to Julio in 2017, and then the year before that he was 3-of-8. So that's quite a big fucking percentage difference from one year to the other. So I really think that they need to do.
I wouldn't put all that on Ryan though. I would put that on Julio.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I said Julio struggled last year.
Yeah.
And people were like, "What the fuck are you talking about? He had 1,400 yards." And I was like, "Motherfucker only had 3 touchdowns and he had shit tons of drops."
Yeah.
You know, obviously I'm not an NFL fucking wide receiver, but goddamn, anybody can tell when you're one of the top 2 wide receivers in the league.
You should be doing
a lot better than that. And he definitely struggled, especially when you look at how well he did the year before. And I think one thing that's going to help him also is he has Calvin Ridley that should open up things for him. I actually believe that Ridley is either going, I think one half or the other, he's going to be explosive. I think that it's either going to be early on where people are covering Jones and he's just going to come out of nowhere and do unbelievable and then open things up for Julio, which will slow his stats down later on, or people are going to be afraid of this fast new rookie and that's going to allow Jones to just perform and then it'll kind of, either way, it'll equal
lay out the playing field. I would hope the first one is what happens, so the kid gets a lot of exposure early into the league, getting more targets, since they'll be worried about Julio. If it's the other way around, I think the offense will stay pretty similar. I don't think it would change it too much.
I think it might be something similar to, like, even what the Texans had going on, where people were covering
Fowler.
No, Fowler was able to shine because they were covering
Hopkins
so hard that, like you said, when you looked at the beginning before Watson
got hurt, that's what I was saying.
He was so successful. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the backup came in and he just wasn't able to perform like the way Watson was. So I really think that the wide receiver core for the Falcons is going to do very well this year. I think we're going to see a lot of that very fast, explosive scoring that you saw back in 2016, especially with Devonta Freeman in the back that can definitely keep that run game moving. And I just think all in all, the offense is going to be a little more fine-tuned than they were last year.
As we were just talking about Deshaun Watson, he's coming back for camp.
Yeah.
Someone else coming back for camp who's already throwing balls is Andrew Luck. And I just have one question. Who do you think has a better bounce back season? Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson.
Overall bounce back season, I really think that Watson will have a better bounce back season because I feel like he has a better team around him currently. Mm-hmm. But if Andrew Luck is truly to 100%, he's one of those quarterbacks that just does unbelievable things. And it's one of those things. It's something that you can never predict. I mean, you look at how well he comes back in the fourth quarter of some of those games. It's one of those things that you just can't predict stats like that.
Yeah. Another thing to add that I saw is that the Saints added another running back in Shane Vereen. If you remember Shane Vereen, he played for the Patriots. He like did that weird one-handed catch in the touchdown. Just to put behind Ingram and Kamara.
So
I don't know why they needed a third one, because those two pretty much just run fucking house over there.
Kind of look at how the Jaguars are. There's multiple teams now that you have that split back running back deal. And then they just have a third guy that could easily run the ball.
The Jaguars have three people, don't they?
Yeah, they had Yeldon. Last year they had Fournette, Yeldon, and Ivory.
Yeah, why do you need all three
of them motherfuckers? And so, which Ivory obviously is getting later on in his career. He's not quite what he was 3, 4, even 5 years ago, but he's still probably somebody that can perform if they called on him.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is playing in the first preseason game. He has already stated that he's going to be there, so we're going to see Andrew Luck in the preseason throwing balls. Suck my dick.
You think he's going to make it out of the preseason throwing balls?
I think he's going to make it out of the preseason throwing fucking 99-yard Hail Marys.
Oh, we'll see.
I think we're going to have some deep fucking threats.
What's the longest throw you've seen him throw in preseason based on what you've seen so far?
Well, it's not preseason.
In the camps.
He was throwing like 30, 40. Yeah, stuff like that.
We'll see how it goes once we get all padded up and he's got J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald and everybody else coming at him.
I think he'll handle it fine as long as nobody hits him in the shoulder.
As long as nobody hits him in the shoulder. Well,
he just needs to start going to the ground.
One of the things that I picked up on ESPN.com also was fantasy busts. So with the season getting closer and closer, fantasy football will be starting soon. We're definitely getting our leagues together. We're going to be in a couple of them. And I am definitely looking forward to it. Some of the stuff that I read on there has a lot of people calling for Pat Mahomes to be a big sleeper, but I personally feel like this season's going to be a bust for him. I feel like Alex Smith probably wasn't the worst quarterback, but I don't feel like he was one of those great people to look up to that was really able to teach him that much in a year to get him to the position where he's going to carry the Chiefs to a big, very successful season. I know a lot of people, or you were even saying the one time, you either think it's going to be super successful or just complete shit. I think it's just going to be kind of a slow building for them. I feel like it's going to take them a couple years. I would like to see...
Because the first one's going to be complete shit.
And I don't know if it's going to be complete shit, but, like, Aaron Luck in his first few seasons, you saw him, like...
Andrew Luck,
you saw him, like, get successful and just get another step of the way every time. And since then, it seemed like everybody, like you said, has either been, like, this guy's going to be a star or He shit. Unfortunately, most of them are on the fucking Cleveland Browns, and it's hard to see a rookie quarterback do much on a team right. like that. But I feel like this is going to be a guy that, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to show really good signs of things and slowly improve over the next couple years. So not somebody that I'm going to say is going to be your fucking all-star guy to pick early on, but... You know, I say a bust. I don't think his season all in all is going to be a bust. But as far as fantasy point production, I don't think he's going to be somebody that's really going to be getting up there. I also feel like Andrew Luck is going to be one of those because a lot of people do have him as a sleeper. I think he's going to be a bust just because right now I don't feel like they're going to be focusing on him doing those huge fucking plays and stuff like that. I feel like they're going to be safe. And when it comes to some red zones, they got Mac, a young, awesome running back that's been developing well under Gore. And I feel like Andrew Luck definitely will be a lot higher than even Patrick Mahomes on that list. But I don't feel like he's going to be one of those guys that are up there like Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Tom Brady. Right. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Another one I wanted to mention was I feel like Gurley is going to get injured this year. So Gurley's going to be somebody that's going to get picked up fast in a lot of leagues, especially like bidding leagues. He's going to go for, he's going to be that $50 player early on, you know, top picks. And I'm just saying it because of this. The Rams will still have a stacked team, even if he goes down, although he's a pivotal player for that. But you look at LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, all these people that started to pick up all this steam and then had an injury that put them out for a year.
Yeah.
I feel like Gurley is going to be the next player on that list that's putting the team on his back, that's just been performing out of his mind, and he's due for the curse of the running back curse that I think's going on right now. Like I said, you look at those names I just mentioned, LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. Big guys. Fournette went down. Didn't Christian McCaffrey go down for a little bit too? Also?
Yeah, and then Cook went down.
Devlin Cook. You got all these running backs that have, like, as soon as they show some monstrous performance, something happens. I don't hope that on anybody, obviously. Todd Gurley would definitely be somebody I'd consider taking if he's on the table when my pick comes around. But that's just what I kind of see coming. Also, I'm adding this in. Keep your eye out for the Madden curse. AB on the cover this year.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. And I saw at GameStop the other day, Terrell Owens is on the Hall of Fame edition.
That's weird.
Yeah.
He
couldn't show up to the Hall of Fame because he had to go take his pictures for the Madden.
Yeah, that's probably what he was doing. He just kept it under wraps.
Yeah. I think Landry, Watkins, and Cooks, who are big on the bust list, and I completely agree with that based on what I've seen the past couple seasons. There are all these receivers that have decent names for themselves. They're amazing athletes, but it seems like in the past couple years, you put them, they're those guys you have on your squad every week, and they just don't fucking perform. And then when you take them off, they do something amazing, and you're like, what the fuck? I do think, however, that Will Fuller and Crabtree are both should be big sleepers and not busts, because with Watson coming back, we talked about how he loves targeting Fuller and he did amazing at the beginning before he got hurt. And you look at Crabtree the past couple seasons on the Raiders, where everybody's like, Amari Cooper coming in, he's the new guy, and then Crabtree just fucking goes ham. And Amari Cooper was, you know, supposed to be the young stud and kind of played second fiddle to Crabtree. Now he's on the Ravens. Joe Flacco has somebody just that reliable veteran.
Maybe he'll make Joe Flacco elite.
That's literally on my list. Do you think that Joe Flacco, with his new receiving core this year, could be pushing to claim that elite spot?
I don't know. They're not much of the defensive team they used to be at one time. So yes.
But that might give, with the lack of defense, it might give Joe Flacco, can put something together with guys like Crabtree, might be something that can go in there a little bit. And so definitely I'll be excited to see the Ravens. I know we talked about like teams we were excited to see.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the Ravens a little bit with Crabtree and some of the other guys that got on there. I thought I heard early on that Macklin went to the Ravens.
Jeremy Macklin?
Yeah. But then I looked at everything the other day when I was putting together the show notes, and it said he was still a free agent.
I'd have to look into it.
Interesting. I'd be surprised that no team just picks up Macklin.
Yeah, Macklin's a stud.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always a, he's not like a fucking blowout name changer or game changer, but he is consistent.
But yeah, when you look at Crabtree's year last year, he only had 618 yards, but 8 touchdowns.
Mm.
So pretty good year on touchdowns. Definitely somebody that will help out, you know, the Ravens and
right.
Joe Flacco and all them. And my last thing on there was almost everybody is calling for Jimmy Graham and Jordan Reed to be on the bus list. And I totally agree. As a tight end
connoisseur,
one of my favorite positions to pick up on. I remember picking up Jimmy Graham in the first year you got me into fantasy, mm-hmm. and I liked what I saw, but it seems like the past couple years he's on a new team right now. I know he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing to him, but I feel like just him and Jordan Reed.
Knowing you got Aaron Rodgers there, it is
something to think about, but I really think if I'm going to look at tight ends, aside from the big names like Gronk and Kelce and stuff like that, I feel like Zach Ertz, Hooper, Doyle, and Ebron are going to be a lot better choices over somebody like Jimmy Graham or Jordan Reed. So tight ends to look at for me, Ertz, Olsen, Hooper, Doyle, and Ebron. Is that how you say his name?
Ebron.
Eric Ebron?
I believe so.
I think I'm right. If not, you know, whatever. I'm just an idiot. But what do you got else for NFL?
I have nothing else for the NFL, actually.
Well, then we're going to jump over to our other sports section, which is primarily NHL. But before we do that, we want to talk some baseball. We're becoming big baseball guys. I was at the bar the other day, and we were watching some of the Cardinals game. They were pooping on the Cubs, which is always fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I know we're not having the best year, but we definitely took it to the Cubs a couple games. The Cardinals are currently 53-51, 7 games back from the Cubs, so it's nice to pick up a couple wins from them. The Cubs currently lead the NL Central, so we need to pick up those games, and that's talking baseball.
That's it. That's all that's happening in baseball
that we care about.
Through the entire league, the only thing that's important is that the Cardinals are 7 games back from the Cubs.
Not exciting, but it's all that's going on.
Yeah.
I have for NHL, the Golden Knights settled their trademark issue with the U.S. Army. The Golden Knights had settled it, clearing the way for the team to be able to have legal rights to the name. The team announced Thursday that the two have entered into a coexistence agreement that allows the hockey team to file for the trademark rights while still allowing the Army, whose teams are called the Black Knights, but whose parachute team is called the Golden Knights, to use the name. So I hadn't even heard about this, and I read this article and was like, what the fuck is this talking about? I don't know of the Golden Knights, but apparently the Army has a parachute team. They're called the Golden Knights. A representative said that they were appreciative of the efforts and commitment to reaching a resolution. The Vegas Knights chairman and CEO said, and I guess the talks went well. So they were pretty happy about that. And also, thanks to a $15 million donation, his name is now on their athletic center, which did open in 2007. So I guess the owner of the Golden Knights made a $15 million contribution to the U.S. Army and is now on the Army Stadium. So that's pretty cool. So Golden Knights are an American team.
There we go.
There you go. Another reason to be a fan. Golden Knights in the Army. The trademark actually became more valuable as the Knights made it to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season. No NHL team has ever sold more gear in their inaugural season, and they sold more than any other team in the 17-18 season out of all the teams.
Huh. Well, I mean, I would kind of assume that would happen being a new team.
A lot of people, even just NHL collectors, are just buying shit up.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, this was year one gear and blah, 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 blah. But that is cool that you hear a lot of those little trademark issues and a lot of like higher end business people, it gets like fucking ridiculous about it. But it was cool that the U.S. Army and the Golden Knights were able to meet an agreement, and then the Knights turn around and donate $15 million. So.
Or did they just pay him $15 million and say, we're going to keep the name?
Could have kind of been in there.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what
like
I'm
a
saying.
Little negotiating.
Yeah, agreement. But they just changed how it's worded.
They just moved like how it all happened.
Yes. Yeah. So that's pretty much what happened. A bad look for the NHL.
Yeah.
0 teams from the NHL were listed on the 50 most valuable sports franchises in history, according to Forbes.
And I actually am not surprised, because I remember when not long ago the Powerball got up over $1 billion,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was looking to it, and all these articles were coming out about, you know, what should you do if you win $1 billion and stuff like that. And one of the things I said was I would buy part of the Blues. I'd invest in the hockey team.
Why wouldn't you just buy the team?
You could, but I don't know if somebody like me should own the entire team. I would want partners to like deal with that. So I would just buy into the team and receive a percentage of, you know, the team's profits and stuff like that, and become more and more knowledgeable about the process, and maybe buy up more shares of the team later on. But there were teams on there that, like, there's some teams you could buy for like $30 million. I was like, holy fuck, that seems like really cheap for a team.
And, for yeah. entire.
And some of them got up to, you know, the 200, 300 million, but some of them were like, yeah, hockey teams really aren't worth that much. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you have, like, football teams and stuff that are easily hundreds of million to buy.
Right, but you'd still think there'd be some, like, at least one team to be, like, extremely valuable. Like, I would think the Blackhawks or the Penguins would still be very valuable because they have, like, the most cups. Or even the Detroit Red Wings. They have a long, long history. I would think that they would be valuable.
Or, like, one of the first eight teams.
Yeah. You would think they would have value. But no. Not a single out of 50 teams, not a single one of them was an NHL team.
You know what? They're not judged in their monetary value. We're judged by grit. Hockey's a game of grit.
It is a game of grit.
And so I bet they had more grit than any of those teams on that Forbes list.
Probably. I bet you if they threw them on a hockey rink, hockey players would win.
You're probably fucking right, because bet they are professionals.
I bet you that's what would happen. I'm willing to put all the money down in the world on that. Talking about money and stuff, Anaheim spent a shit ton of money to get awesome alternative jerseys. Did you see those?
Yes, I did. Quack, quack. The old jerseys are back.
Yes, it's the ones from the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, and I don't know why they ever changed it in the first place.
I don't know either. I think they're only going to wear them for a few games. I don't think they're going to wear them the whole season.
Yeah, it's just like they said, a lot of the alternate jerseys are going back to classic logos.
Yeah, and stuff, the Philadelphia Flyers did it too. Yep. They have an old classic one coming back as well. The bright ass orange and black. Yeah, that's going to be an eyesore for some people.
Yeah, but fuck it, it's classic, nostalgia. But yeah, the Mighty Ducks, definitely one of the dopest fucking jerseys there are.
You know what I found out the other day playing in it, John?
What'd you find out?
Did you know that the Chicago Blackhawks have virtually not changed their jersey for 70 years?
Oh, yeah.
I did not realize very that. I didn't similar. Know theirs was, like, pretty much the same. Like, they've never really done anything.
Really done a lot different.
Yeah, I did not know that. I mean, you look at, like, the Blues. We haven't even changed a lot, but they are, like, we have multiple, like, drastic changing jerseys.
Yeah.
Which is wild to think that the Blackhawks are like, yeah, we're fucking red and have a dude on our chest. What of it?
Yeah, and some of them are, like, completely different teams.
Yeah.
And, nope, the Blackhawks have pretty much held true over the years. Speaking of the Blackhawks, we're going to throw it back to our hometown Blues, who are the rivals. With the pickup of O'Reilly this year, which is a big center improvement, do you think Braden Schenn will play first line with Tarasenko, or do you think he'll drop down and allow O'Reilly to take that first line position?
I think at the beginning of the season you're going to have Schenn on the first line, but once O'Reilly gets into the groove with the team, they will flip.
So you think O'Reilly will work his way into that first position? Because Schenn and Tarasenko, I mean, Schenn was definitely probably the second best player on the team, in my opinion.
Right.
And, you know, when you're considering scoring, I think, you know, you got Schwartz, who's just an unreal playmaker, and you got Steen and Pietrangelo, which all have their things that they add to the mix. But I think you're right. I think eventually O'Reilly's going to move up to first line. I'm just really excited to see the Blues this year. It'll be interesting to see how they work these lines out, because you also got to think we just picked up Bozak also.
Yeah.
And so I think we have a lot of depth this year that we lacked in the past couple years, along with just scoring potential.
Right.
And so I'm fucking stoked for this year.
No, I'm ready for the season to start.
Do you have anything else NHL-wise to cover?
I do. Chris Patrick from the Washington Capitals, the director of the player personnel, he got his day with the cup.
Yep.
And he took it to Cold Stone Creamery and got it filled with ice cream. And he just let kids eat out of it at the store.
Dude, that's what I would do with the cup.
No. Because everyone else is drinking alcohol out of that thing. They just gave alcohol-infused ice cream to children in public.
They clean that.
How clean can it get?
Pretty clean.
With what? Out of that old Stanley cup flying on a plane back and forth, you don't think someone's pouring a little drink in there? If you're the guy who cleans the cup, you're not going to drink out of it every day?
Yeah, but he probably cleans it when he's done for whoever gets it next.
I don't think so.
I think they take very good care of that cup, even after the shenanigans.
I think on the outside, the inside of that cup where everything
they have
goes,
to, because I know everybody drinks it out of it, but I guarantee there's been dudes to fuck that cup.
like, fuck with it?
Like, literally rub their dick all over it or jerk off on it. I guarantee you there's been some players that are so fucking stoked they fuck that cup.
They were like Paige. You know, the WWE girl who got came on with the...
Yeah, but not even that. Belt. They're not fucking someone with the cup. It's just them in the cup.
Oh, it's just them in the cup. Yep. Okay, that gets real weird.
Yeah, I have a feeling that some of the players cherish.
Where do they fuck it at?
I don't know, the hole in the bottom, or maybe they just jerk off into the cup and they're like, ha
That's perfect. Clean this up.
And then they give it back to the keepers. They're like, go clean yourself up.
Maybe that's what he did right before, and he was like, just fill it with ice cream.
Just put ice cream in it. And then all the kids are like, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah, so. That's what he did.
All right. Well, that's a wonderful way to end our NHL talk. We're going to go ahead and jump into some segments right now, kicking it off with our wow story of the week.
Wow.
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 Okay, so my wow story of the week this week is an update about a New Jersey superintendent who was accused of pooping on the high school racetrack. Superintendent from New Jersey accused of publicly defecating on the local high school's track and field resigned the other day. Thomas Tragmalini, 42, has resigned. Definitely got to be an Italian.
Yeah, definitely.
He resigned from the Kenilworth School District on Thursday night. As reported by a local newspaper, apparently he said that he was resigning due to events unrelated to his service at the school. Apparently he was arrested in May and accused of shitting on the high school track and field on a daily basis.
He was just fertilizing it, just trying to make it a better place for the kids.
Yeah, so it was just like, you know what? I have my daily routine. I go and walk the track. They won't put a fucking porta-johnny out there. I don't have time to make it up there. So I'm just going to, you know, I mean, we do this with manure, and I'm just going to poop right here on the field. And, you know, the players will walk it in there. You know,
I'm okay with it.
They'll just work it out. Apparently, the allegations received national attention, and earning him a punny little nickname of Pooper Intendant.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah, so that's pretty clever, I guess. I would have just been a little more blunt and been like, yo, field shitter.
What are you doing?
What's up? Apparently he was making $150,000 a year as a superintendent, but now that he's unemployed, he's focusing on defending himself in court. He said that the allegations are untrue and that everything has just been kind of blown out of proportion. They said that officers unlawfully took his photograph and distributed and disseminated the mugshot to third-person parties, including the media. So he's kind of saying, like, I didn't even do this, and now you have my mugshot all over the internet and shit.
And people are calling me Pooper Intendant.
Yeah, and so he's pretty salty because he claims that he hasn't pooped on any field.
I'd just fuss up. I'd actually be open. If I was shitting on fields, I'd take a shit.
I thought this was America.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a role model for the younger generation to not take no shit, but you give shits.
Yeah. You give a shit. I give a shit about this football team.
About this team and this field. I ain't here to take them. I'm here to give them. And by you firing me, you're the ones taking shit now. Taking shit away from these students that need role models like me and morale boosters like the story that I'm presenting to them to be successful human beings in this country.
Yeah.
And so really, the media and the police, they apparently don't give a shit about the children of the school.
Yeah, I think they're just pushing down the uprise of the children. They don't want children to know that they don't need to take shit but give shit.
The man trying to keep them confined to their bathrooms when, you know...
No more bathrooms.
Mother Nature, every animal other than us, you know, Mother Nature is our bathroom.
Yeah.
And she takes the shit and she uses it for fuel and gives us better shit.
No, he was just going back to his natural instinct. I don't see a problem with this whatsoever.
Yeah, but like you said, it shouldn't be that him, like, the fact that he's fighting it, you know, it's kind of that battle back and forth, so now they have a story. Did he do it? Did he not do it? Now he's suing. Turns out he did do it. Then he looks like a big dummy when he could have just straight up been like, yeah, I'm shitting on the field, so what? You want to fight about it?
Yeah, that's what I would have done. That would have been the right
straight up come out there. And then when they're fired him, then be like, you know what? That's a mistake on you. And then that's when you go into the great speech that we just gave about him giving shits for the team and for the kids, not taking shits. And then you got to get that. We need to be his PR team.
Yeah, I think we could have got this guy out of this
hole. And so that was my wow story of the week.
Well, shit on field, and rats and wings.
Rats in wings or rats with wings?
No, rats in wings. Okay. You know boneless chicken wings?
Oh, yeah.
There was over 1,000 pounds of reported rat meat in boneless chicken wings all across the United States.
And who found this out?
Somebody from the FDA.
Just started examining some boneless wings. Yeah. Was like, oh, this is rat meat.
Yeah, it turned out to be... Oh, not 1,000, 1 million pounds of rat meat has been passed off as boneless chicken wings from China.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because a lot of the food, I think... I pretty much assume when I go to a Chinese buffet, I'm eating some rat.
Yeah, and it was released from the FDA for sure. And this has been going on for at least 8 months.
So that's a long time. I'm pretty sure in that 8 months, I've probably eaten some of that rat.
Hey, apparently rats are fucking good. I don't care. Line them up.
Maybe they're like the rats that were on that viral YouTube video. They shower. They take care of themselves. I feel like rats have a bad rap.
Rats have a bad rap, yeah.
People need to fucking... Rats are back.
Yeah, rats are back. Rats really need to step up to the batter's box.
Yeah.
And clear up their rat.
I mean, there's been some great rats in history.
Mm-hmm. Ratatouille.
You got Ratatouille.
Stuart Little.
You got, what was the Ninja Turtles dad?
Oh, Splinter.
Splinter. You got, our dad used to have a pet rat.
Socrates.
Socrates sat on his, our dad used to be able to take his pet rat. He would sit in his pocket and chill in his locker during school. He would take it to some of his classes. He was even on roll call. And when he used to go to work, he would set it on his bike seat. And that rat would sit on that bike seat and chill until he got off work and came out. Guard rat.
Guard rat. Rats are good things. I think everybody should have a rat.
People need to try. I mean, don't knock it.
And if it dies, you can just make it into a boneless chicken.
Yeah, it's the greatest pet ever. You know, you got a cool little pet rat. They're simple, easy to take care of. And then when it dies, you just make yourself some boneless chicken wings. Maybe sell it on the street, make you some money.
Yeah, Skinner. You got a fireplace. Just, you know, lap it up on there on a metal post for a little while. Make sure you rotisserate that to get the meat finally.
Maybe that's why I prefer bone-in wings, though.
I also prefer traditional wings.
Yeah, I'm not big on the boneless. But yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings does a lot of boneless, so maybe Buffalo Wild Wings is selling this rat. Mm,
I wonder if I like...
That's some expensive rat, though, because Buffalo Wild Wings has gotten outrageous.
I fucking hate Buffalo Wild Wings.
I know.
God, fuck you, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings, you're going to have to pay us some money if you ever want to hear us talking about you again, because I've had nothing but bad experiences, but I just
want to... I'm doing it right now. I'm boycotting it. Boycotting Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm not going for the entire NFL season of 2018-19.
Inside the Pocket is the official podcast against Buffalo Wild
Wings. Yup. Fuck Buffalo Wild Wings. You guys can suck my not expensive dick.
Yep, and if you have a problem with it, I'll just tell everybody that you're serving rats and fight you.
Yep.
So is that all you got for your wild story of the week? Everybody Absolutely. Eating a bunch of rats?
Yeah.
Well, you know what a rat has never done?
What's that?
Been the president of the United States. And neither of us. But let me tell you what I would do if I were the president of the United States.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president.
All right, Austin, go ahead and kick this one off. If you were the president of the greatest country in the world, what would you do?
I'd stop being a dickhead and let people have drinks in public. Open container law everywhere.
There's kind of an ongoing theme of if you were president, focus a lot on public drinking.
Yeah. I like public drinking. I think it's a good time.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I'm starting to see a pattern here.
I just think that it's way too restrictive. I think the more public you make it, the less problems you'll see.
Kind of like if they made weed legal, you wouldn't have so many problems with it.
Yes. Yeah, exact same concept. Like, whenever you're like, why can't I walk from your house down to the park with little fucking Jimmy? Say I have a son named Jimmy. We want to go to the park, but dad's not going to get on the swings. Dad's going to push his kid around for 4 fucking hours and be tired as shit. All I want to do is have a couple of drinks. Here you go.
Speaking of having some drinks.
Let's go. All I want to do is have a couple of drinks while I'm walking down to the park. That's all I'm saying.
Can't knock that.
I want to be able to walk out from a bar to go to my next bar with a drink in my hand.
We even said that. Me and Nicole went and got pizza last night. It was about a 30-minute wait, and they were like, do you want to drink while you wait? We're like, sure. So we got some beers. And I was like, man, it'd be nice. It's a nice day. I wish we could just walk around and people watch for a while before our seat gets open. But no, we had to just sit inside.
Yeah, you have to just sit there. You can't go outside. Stupid. I got in trouble at my apartment complex one time. I was walking Cambria. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have me a beer on this walk. And I was walking. Sure shit. Cop pulls by. I didn't think anything of it. He goes, you had a beer in your hand? And I went, yeah. He went, you know that's illegal, right? And I was like, obviously not. I did not know. I thought this was America. And he kind of laughed, and he was like, well, get rid of it. So I had to, like, go back. I mean, obviously, I drank it, and then I just got rid of it. But I was like, oh, that's fucking illegal? That's bullshit. I think we should...
I can't walk my dog and have a beer.
Yeah, I should have just, like, made my dog come closer and just poured it in her mouth and see what the cop would have done.
Then, like, is it illegal to get my dog fucking lit?
Yeah, is it illegal for us to fucking party? Because this is bullshit.
Do you think if you would have done that, he could have then just been like, well, now your dog's the container? Because I actually heard of that happening one time. Somebody said they were... I think it was a kid I went to school with when he lived in California. Said that he got a minor in possession, a minor under the influence... Or he got a minor under the influence and a minor in possession... And he was like, I don't actually have any beer on me. I'm just drunk. He goes, well, you have it in you, so you're the container. And gave him a fucking...
No shit.
I'm sure a lawyer might be able to fight that. But he was like, your body contains the alcohol. And gave him a fucking MIP.
Huh.
I thought that was wild.
I think I would have fought that for sure.
Yeah.
I would have went against that.
I mean, he already has the... You know, being drunk as a minor against him. So I guess maybe their lawyer was like, we could fight this, but you're still going to lose here. So you're better just to, like,
cut your losses.
Yeah, cut your losses, accept what's coming to you, and just deal with it. And so that was pretty fucking fun. But if I were president, I have a lot of respect for the women, men and women who serve in our military.
Dude.
I myself have never done it. I know you have never done it, but I have great respect for the people that have. So if I were president and the leader of this country, you know, commanding general of all the military that the U.S. had at their disposal,
right?
I would be getting trained, even if I was an older gentleman, in the White House, and when we fought wars and stuff, I would be riding along or somewhere. I'd be going with everybody like the old kings and war generals used to do back in the day. And I would be there with them. Like, here we are. Like, I'm not just sending my people. I'm here too. Why don't you step up?
Huh.
And, like, it would be one of those things where, like, the war would be going on. But, like, can you imagine if it was like, oh, President Trump has killed Vladimir Putin today with his bare hands.
No,
I think in a fist fight, man, Putin would fuck up some people. I think he's probably one of the most badass people in charge right now when it comes to, like, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
I would think Putin's probably on top
right now. He's actually a really small guy, though.
Yeah, but have you seen him, like, in the gym and, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's a pussy, but he's only, like, fucking 5'8". Like, get the fuck out of here.
I think he would take the Don.
Take the Don?
Yeah. Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah.
You think
Donald
Trump versus Vladimir
Putin? I thought you meant Dad. I was like...
No.
I don't think so.
No, our dad would fight Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump... Vladimir Putin might come have Dad assassinated for a second.
But Donald Trump, yeah, I think he'd take him.
But, no, that's what I would do. I would get training. I'd be doing some martial arts, be getting, you know, I mean...
Debatable.
I've shot...
Who would win in a fight, Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin?
That might be a debatable we do eventually once we get some more statistics. but no, I'd be getting trained more in, you know, hand-to-hand combat, some war games and stuff like that, so I could literally go over there and participate with the people, because if you can literally be like, yeah, all you people have to go die for me, I kind of want to be like... You know what? I'm in charge of this country. I kind of need to go make sure shit's getting done.
Right.
I'd be over there. It'd totally be risky. I'd probably end up dying.
Probably.
It would be one of those things.
You'd
where
be a,
like,
heroic.
Yeah, people would be like, you gotta respect you that shit. Yeah. Like, goddamn, he wouldn't let anybody stop him. Like, we're going over there.
Yeah.
And we're going to fucking do this. And so that's what I would do if I was president. Walk right in there, get shit done as a military active president.
Wait, I have another thing.
What's
just
that?
To go to kind of lead into our next area. If you were a president, Has there ever been a single president?
A single? Oh, that wasn't married?
Yeah.
I believe there was one that ended up getting divorced.
If you were president of the United States, how baller would your Tinder page be?
If you're a single president and you were just on Tinder, I mean, is that all you would just say?
Mine would say, I am the leader of the free world.
That would be the free world. I wouldn't start with that. I'd have to hit up some other things, be like, I enjoy pizza, football, hockey. I co-host an awesome podcast.
I own America.
And I'm the president of the United States. You're like, what?
You know, like, nobody would believe the account until you're like, yo, me in the Oval Office, what up?
Can you imagine the Tinder talks you could do if you were the president? God. That would just be people just throwing it at you.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, yo, prez, let's go out sometime.
I kind of just want to become president just so I can...
Have a Tinder page.
Yeah, have a Tinder page. And then be president.
One of my pictures would literally just be a bald eagle.
Like
when they're swiping, they're like, oh, this guy looks familiar. Oh, he's the president. Why's he got a bald eagle? Oh, America.
Yeah, that's why. America.
Well, America is the greatest country in the world, but it's also full of a lot of conspiracy theories. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Austin, what is your conspiracy theory this week?
Okay, so I found this one and I got lost in it. This one is wild. It's probably the creepiest, most like relating one that I could find with so many connections that came together. It gets like darker the more you go down, and it actually seems plausible.
So it's like something that you think is legitimately probably a real conspiracy theory?
Yes.
And it's just fucked up.
Oh, it's completely fucked up. So it starts like this.
What the fuck?
I know, but it gets even weirder.
How the fuck? All right, so what happens next?
Okay, so what happens next is...
Holy shit.
I know.
That is fucking creepy.
I mean, I'm just glad that I'm able to get it out there so people can hear it.
Yeah, so... I mean, if you're into fucking some deep-ass shit like that, be sure and check that out. I mean, mine's not nearly as good as that. But my conspiracy theory this week is Taylor Swift is the clone of former satanic priest Zena LaVey.
Oh, okay.
So I found this on here, and I started looking into it. And basically, they have these pictures. We can post this comparison on our Facebook later. But it is pretty crazy. You can see it right now, The comparison between Taylor Swift and
good
this
radio,
lady.
But yeah, I can see where they look similar.
But so, Taylor Swift and this lady, Zena LaVey, who is a satanic high priestess, look very similar. And they say that she is a clone. They say the evidence is pretty easy to see. Apparently, this lady and Swift are both represented by the serpent emoji. I know Taylor Swift uses a lot of snakes and serpents in her performances and stuff, and this lady obviously being tied to the satanic priest, obviously the serpent represents the devil in a lot of things, the form he took when he was in the Garden of Eden. They both have blonde hair. They're very similar looking, like eerily similar looking. And apparently this woman's dad founded the Church of Satan while Taylor Swift's surrogate father... was a guy that owned a Christmas tree farm and was very religious also.
Hmm.
Obviously, the women have a lot in common. Their connections can't merely just be coincidence, a lot of people were saying. Apparently, they say Swift's attachment to the color red represents, you know, her love for Lucifer and stuff like that, which is pretty fucking creepy. But apparently, this lady was the high priestess of the Church of Satan from 1985 to 1990, which is very specific because Taylor Swift talks a whole lot about being born in 1998. which would be about the time that this lady was still the high priestess of the Satanic Church. She even named one of her albums 1989, which was the year she was born. Clearly, you know, according to the conspiracy theory, this is an attempt to emphasize that she had like a normal birth and wasn't, you know, a clone.
Right.
But they said that's kind of like a cover-up thing. They said she apparently had created numerous clones to, you know, spread, I guess, this lady's satanic agenda. But apparently Taylor Swift was the one who shared the most genetic makeup and has been the most successful. And apparently this other lady even ventured into the music industry when she was younger. But Taylor Swift has kind of dominated it. They then kind of start throwing some of her lyrics into some of it, like the lady traveled a lot through the years, and apparently there's a lyric from one of Taylor Swift's songs where she says, "Grab your passport in my hand," which that could just be her wanting to travel with people, but I can see in the conspiracy theory how they're doing it. But they also say that the Xena lady, after she left the Church of Satanism, joined a Sethicism church, which is basically the Egyptian god Seth, who is technically like the Egyptian devil.
Gotcha.
And she became a high priestess of the Temple of Seth, and so they talk about how she was like a crossover queen. Taylor Swift also crossed over from the country church to the pop charts. Mm. And they were saying she also dominated like two different things. And a while back, there was a big meme that went around of somebody, they were just fucking around. I think this was on Reddit or something. And it said, like, this is a picture of my friend Becky. She used to be happy until she snorted marijuana at a party. She died instantly. Please don't do marijuana. It's the most dangerous drug out there. Mm. And somebody commented on it. Pretty sure this is Taylor Swift because the picture looks just like Taylor Swift. And the person commented back, no, it's Becky.
Yeah.
So this person was pretty fucking hardcore saying this was Becky. But then the conspiracy brought that into it, saying that this was possibly one of the other clones that was out there. And Taylor Swift has even like commented on the meme and had a shirt made that said, "No, it's Becky."
And it has underneath it a label, TS1989.
Yeah, and that's part of like, you know, she always puts on her pictures, "Taylor Swift, I was born on this date." And so that could kind of be her referring to like, "Nope, that is one of the clones. I'm Taylor Swift." And so it's one of those things, you know, who knows. But yeah, she was kind of showing it off as like, you know,
like she has a connection with her fans, but really she's letting you know there's fucking clones out there, bud.
Yeah, and so that was the big thing. They got YouTube videos out on it that dives deeper into it, but I thought that was a pretty crazy conspiracy theory. But like I said, you look at the picture of these two, and you can tell a ton of similarities between the two. And it's one of those things. Taylor Swift is a pretty well-renowned icon in American pop culture, and so it would definitely be, if she was like trying to spread that kind of agenda, that would be one of the outlets that I assume they would
take. You would assume that she would have had the wackadoo phase that Miley Cyrus had.
Possibly.
But she did not.
But she did not. She kept her cool, because Satan's a little smarter than that.
Huh. Mm.
But yeah, that was my wild take. Not nearly as crazy as your conspiracy theory, which is fucking wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we got. Next, we're going to get into some Tinder talks.
Yikes.
Okay, so we had to do a little searching this week, because none of our amazing listeners did their part and send us any Tinder talks.
You fucks.
So if you're listening to this, we really need you guys to send us... you send us some personal ones that you have found that are crazy, or talk to your friends, or get your women on Tinder and have them receive fucked up messages. We need you to take one for the team here. We need you guys to get some shit so we can talk about this.
We like this segment. Ruin your relationship for us.
Ruin your life for the good of a podcast that you enjoy to listen to once a week. I think it'll be worth it. And so we did some diving in, and we found some. This first one's from a dude named Jack, and this is definitely not how you start, in my opinion.
No.
This was a very strong fail to open up a conversation.
Yeah.
It starts with, "Please sleep with me, please. Pretty please. I'm so lonely. I haven't slept with anyone in a very long time." So he has slept with somebody. He's not a virgin.
Congrats on the sex.
"And you were very good looking. Please do me a favor. of having sex with me. So the dude apparently has been laid before, but apparently has a weak game or has just been lazy.
He's falling apart. It's been so long, he's falling apart. Yeah, he's beating his dick so hard at home that he's getting in charge for domestic violence.
Yeah, and he's losing touch with reality right now. Yeah. And so I feel for this guy. RIP to Jack. And this is definitely not how you want to start it out. This guy obviously has issues because he should have been trying to pull this off somehow long before he got to this mental state where he thinks like this is the strategic play that he should make.
He comes off so soft. Like, please sleep with me. Please, pretty please. Just that line right there, that's a hard pass from me.
Yeah, I literally picture a guy from, like, some fucking movie where he's literally, like, just pleading for his life, sobbing.
I think if somebody's sweating, typing this very frantically. Like, that's how I think he...
Yeah, he's just like, this is the last hope. If I don't get this one, I'm just gonna...
This dude might have just
killed himself. Probably dead, so, rest in peace, thoughts and prayers to Jack's family. Next we got John.
Jays.
And so he takes a little bit of a clever approach, but I feel like he just discombobulated this woman with his first comment. Hi, my name is John. Yes, like the Pope, though I am not the Pope, and I hope you did not believe I am or ever was. So what's wrong with being the Pope, John?
Also, when I think of the name John, I don't immediately think that must be the Pope.
Yeah, I mean, I know people named John.
No, I know quite a few Johns, but never in my life. Oh, the Pope? You're the Pope? You must be the Pope. Or you were the Pope at one time.
Actually, if somebody said, what's the Pope's name, I probably wouldn't guess John.
I will now that I know now that I'm John just gonna is say his John name.
The Pope, I guess?
I guess it's not the one current, because there is a timestamp on that of 2015.
Yeah.
And I know we got a new guy who was, like, all for gay marriage. And
he's been here for a few years.
I don't think since 2015.
We'll have to check that. Isn't it
Francis?
It might be it. Didn't we have a Pope Benedict? Or was that the guy before the one we have
I think
now?
That was the guy before.
Yeah. But I don't think his name was John, was it?
John Benedict?
We'll have to look into some of these Pope names.
Yeah, we need to get our Pope knowledge up.
So next week we're going to do a top 10 list of the best Pope names in the history of the Popes.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that we're going to do. But I can tell you, John's probably not... John might make the list just because of this. But he... Though I'm not the Pope, and I hope you did not believe I am or ever was.
I can only assume he has a picture of the Pope on his page.
Why would you do that if he's trying to, like...
Why would he bring up the Pope? Why would it be so easily confused?
Maybe this is a tender sent from Europe. And he's just like, yo... I'm not the Pope. I know my name's John, which is like one of the most common names in the world. But right. Just so you know, I'm not the Pope.
I don't know. Poor move.
Unless this was sent...
Or what if it is him?
And it is the Pope.
It is the Pope, and he's trying to cover up...
It does sound kind of like cover-up-ish.
I didn't do it, but...
So this don't is think John saying, like, low-key, like, yo...
I am the Pope.
I'm not the Pope. I never was the Pope. But yeah, I'm the Pope. You want to hook up later.
Yeah, you want to fuck the Pope, hun? Yep.
So the Pope's got a fire tender going right now.
That changes everything. If it is the Pope, this is awesome.
Yeah. If the Pope is just hitting bitches up on his Verizon cellular phone, I mean, good for the Pope. I mean...
Yeah, hey, hit it for Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jesus... You think Jesus would want his people to just be a bunch of virgin nerds?
No.
No. He would like, I want my people.
I bet you fucking is their favorite shit to see. Yeah. It is by far the favorite thing that God and Jesus like to witness.
Yeah, you think they probably made that and they look down and see everybody fucking. They're like, I am so good for you.
Look at what we did.
Look at this. Look how great this thing is.
This is awesome. This is porn always. Yeah. That's what they do up there. We, like, have the internet, and, like, we watch porn. Like, oh, I'm going to go met God and Jesus. That's their TV. Yeah, it's just so like, fucking porn.
Yeah, so when your grandma back in the day was like, Jesus is always watching, be like, Jesus should go to hell then, because he's watching a bunch of fucked up shit if he's watching me all day.
Let's put another knuckle in and give him a show.
Next, we got Zachary, which this was a bold go.
Yeah.
Very funny. But I don't know if I would go this far. Zachary opens up with, "I would suck your dad's dick just to taste the recipe."
Hmm.
So Zach's gay.
Zach's bi. Zach wants to suck your dad's dick.
I don't know if that's very appealing to a woman. Like, you want to fuck my dad? Or maybe
it's gonna be a weird meeting of the dad.
Maybe he's trying to make her jealous by telling her he wants to suck her dad's dick, and then she's like, "No,
I want to suck your dick."
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to play the
reverse psychology.
Yeah, reverse psychology is getting her jealous. I like the angle there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things too. What if she was just like,
what if her dad's Colonel Sanders though, and he just wants to suck his dick to get that sweet secret recipe for that fried chicken?
But what if he sucks Colonel Sanders' dick and he was like, "That was great, no, but that's not one of my ingredients."
So,
but thanks for the head.
Yeah.
But check this one though. Maybe he is gay and he's looking at her and he's just like,
"But she has a hot dad.
I bet she has a hot dad. I want to, you know, hook up with your dad."
Hmm.
So, bold play. I would say if he is going for the girl, a little aggressive. If you're trying to get to
only
the dad,
slightly.
Good play. But I do like the angle on the making her jealous. That's probably not a bad idea. Just went a little strong with that one, in my opinion.
He should have said your brother's probably cute. That would have been a better play.
Could
a little softer.
So this one's by Nissan. We're going to say. I don't believe that's how you actually
say it. I think it's Nishan.
Yeah, but we're calling him Nissan. I've already committed to it. And he's got some fucked up carrier. I've never even heard of Telus. Or Telephone US. Tel US. We're going to call it.
The Telly.
This guy's calling her on a Tesla phone. And he says, "You were actually perfect." And doesn't get a response. And next day he follows up with, like, "To be honest, even the way you ignored my message was perf." And so, if I'm a girl, if a girl denies me, usually I'm just like, "All right, that's cool, whatever." But you, I don't know what girl out there couldn't respect a guy that hit her back up with that follow-up message. If this follow message didn't get this guy laid, that chick's a bitch.
Yeah, no, fuck her. I hope she
should,
dies.
Yeah, he shouldn't
dead already.
Fuck her. If some guy's gonna pull out something hilarious like that, it doesn't matter what he looks like, girls. You at least need to, like, chat with him.
Yeah, you need to talk to him. I mean, don't just leave him. That's fucking funny.
Like,
if I saw that,
that's
I'd
a
be
great
laughing.
Way to handle a rejection.
Yep.
And
he's still showing interest.
Yeah,
he didn't get mad and be like, "Actually, you're just a bitch."
Yeah, there's tons of guys out there that'd be like, "Oh, you're a fucking dumb bitch anyway. I wouldn't fuck you anyways." I'm just like, "Okay, well, why'd you message the bitch in the first place if that was your opinion?" But no, the guy gets hit up. He gives her a great compliment. "You're perfect."
Yeah, that's pretty up there.
And then she
with all the things, perfect's like the best you can be.
Yeah, that's kind of a good compliment. And then he doesn't get the response back. Hits her with a hilarious follow-up message. So I really hope Nissan got it in with this one.
Yeah, I do too. I'd like to get a follow-up.
Yeah,
maybe this happened 3 years ago. I'd like to know what happened.
I'm hoping Nissan's living a pretty happy life right now. I'm hoping he got his perfect girl.
Hopefully her name's Sorrento.
Could be. But yeah, that's all we got for our Tinder talks this week. We dug those up. We thought they were pretty funny. But if you have some crazy messages, or you know some people that do, guys, send them to us. InsidethePocketPodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on all that shit. Leave a comment on one of our YouTube videos. We don't care. We need some of that shit. Any crazy stories you got, questions we would love to have, anything that you guys would like us to talk about, or stuff that you would like to contribute to the podcast, we would be happy to get it on there. We're kicking off later in August, guys. We're almost a fish.
In August.
Yeah.
Right when football starts.
Yeah.
So right when the excitement of football is coming through our brains and coming out our dicks, we're going to be getting our shit on iTunes and it's going to be lit.
And we need you guys to help us.
Yes.
And so send us your shit. Share it with your friends. Share this shit. If I don't see you guys sharing and I know you listen to it, I'm coming to smack you in the face. And I can smack pretty hard, so don't fucking let me
do that
to you.
It's aggressive. I'll probably be behind them being like, "We probably shouldn't do this." But
I respect the compassion and why he's doing this. So just avoid this situation and share our shit and send us some tender tales.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into our last segment before the beer review, which is debatable. Okay, so our debatables for today are... What are you doing?
Ripping Goofy clouds.
Ones you got from the vape store?
Absolutely, the vape store.
You mean the one at 1407 Lake St. Louis Boulevard?
That's exactly where.
The one that's going to have a new location opening up off Mexico Road?
Absolutely.
Wow. Those guys are awesome.
They are awesome. They're a good group of guys.
Yeah, so if you are wanting to quit smoking or you're already vaping and you're getting tired of your store, you're getting ripped off, these guys have some awesome rigs, they got awesome juices, and they're just all around good guys. Be sure and check them out. Like I said, they're going to have a new location opening up off Mexico Road in O'Fallon. But if you don't want to wait till then, hit them up on Lake St. Louis Boulevard. They're awesome guys. They will definitely hook you up. Tell them Inside the Pocket sent you there, and they will hook you up.
Yeah.
Now, before I was so rudely interrupted, but... It was an interruption by an awesome sponsor. We're going to get into our debatables. So you like fruity flavors,
right? I do.
Let me ask you this. If you had a bunch of fruit and they all came to life and they fought, which fruit do you think would win?
Is pineapple a fruit?
Yeah.
Pineapple.
You think pineapple?
Yeah, because they're pointy and hard on the outside, and I think they would jump on other fruit and blow them up.
And just fuck it up? No, pineapple's definitely a good one. But what if you got, like, a watermelon? Like, a real big watermelon?
That's a melon.
Are melons considered fruits?
I don't think so. I think they're melons.
I think there's melons in fruit salads.
Well, there's a lot of things in fruit salads that aren't fruit.
I think a melon is a fruit.
Is it? Look that up. Google that shit. I think so.
Melon is a fruit. Is melon a fruit? A melon is any of various plants of the family. I can't even say that. It's a fleshy fruit.
Oh, huh.
So yeah, melon's totally...
All right, so melons
are... Melons are part of the fruit war.
Okay.
And I think a large watermelon could possibly win that.
Okay. Okay.
But you have...
Bananas have sheer numbers.
Yeah, bananas have sheer numbers, so they're going to gang up on you. Kiwis would almost be like the little, like, they got numbers. When you buy a thing of kiwis, there's a shit ton of kiwis.
Yeah.
Or grapes. Grapes are soft, too. I feel like a pineapple or a watermelon.
Grapes are like the ants of the fruit world.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of, like, more... fruit.
And like, there might be some like exotic fruits that I don't know about that could probably get in there. But I think pineapple and melons would probably come down to them. I think there's...
Is
the
a
elites.
Coconut a fruit? Or is it a nut?
I don't know. Is a coconut? I don't think so. Is a coconut a fruit?
Is coconut a fruit? Good radio. We're learning things as we're going.
Yeah. Is a coconut a fruit? Botanically speaking, it's a fibrous, one-seeded drupe.
Mm. So coconuts are not a part of the fruit war.
Yeah.
Mm.
However, when using a loose definition, the coconut can be all three, a fruit, a nut, and a seed.
Whoa.
Wild.
They're a very...
So coconut's pretty versatile. Yeah, I don't know what's getting through. Coconut might take it.
Coconut might bring the seeds and the nuts to the war with them.
Yeah, because he's like, he can bring everything together. He's like the Holy Trinity of fruit.
Yeah, he's bringing all three of the tribes together.
I'm going to say that's what I'm going with. Coconut is the king of the fruits.
Coconut's the king of the fruit. Coconut's king of the kingdom.
Yeah.
He's in all
Coconut
three.
Is going to win the fruit war.
Hmm.
All right, next question. Is masturbation gay?
Yes.
You think it's a little gay? I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm jerking off.
It's dude on dude or girl on girl, and you might be watching something else to get you a razzle-dazzled, but that's forced gay.
Yeah, because I don't think you could say, like, if I had sex with another guy but was thinking about having sex with a girl, I'm still having sex with another guy. Yeah. That's gay.
And I'm pretty much just giving myself a hand job, and I'm a dude. So I'm giving a dude a hand job.
So anybody that's masturbated is slightly gay.
Yeah.
So yeah, 2018, everybody's kind of gay.
Hey, it's about loving yourself.
It's about loving yourself. You can't love others until you love yourself. So you can't be straight until you've been a little gay. If time is infinite, where did it begin? Is there a beginning?
Is there an end?
these are the questions.
Since it's, cause, like, that's what I think about, like, when I think about, like, the beginning of, like, the world and stuff, I don't think time started when the world started. I think time was way before that.
Yeah, there's but been just...
how do you trace it? Like...
I mean, there's lots of religions that follow it back, like, before God had the creations, there was chaos, and then...
Yeah, but how long did the chaos happen? Yeah, there was still had to be a time period.
There had to be something. I mean... that's what reads into the obviously I'm atheist and you're agnostic and we don't really know. I mean, I'm pretty damn sure there's not, just based on how the universe works.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when did it really? It's one of those things that maybe, like, you think of time, but, like, is time real? That's kind of like something we made up.
Yeah, we're like the only thing on Earth that really
cares about time. Yeah,
that watches time.
Yeah, and has segmented it.
Yeah.
And so, does maybe it really time have to be starts?
Maybe time, maybe it's literal. Time began when we chose to make time.
Chose to make time happen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh, so we'd have to find out, like, when the very first sundial was made. And that would be the answer, I guess.
But then, like you said, if space is infinite along with time, you know, we think about the beginning of time, but there could be things out there that would be like, yeah, that was nowhere near the beginning of time. Like, we've had shit going on way longer than that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, the time originally... But that's why I said maybe it's more literal. When we made time, when we said, okay, we're going to start tracking this, this is time.
But you think about us making time, there could have been people that made time before we thought of that concept of time.
Mm.
So even if you trace it back to, like, this is when humans first started keeping track of time, there could be some other race was like, well, we've been tracking time since way back here. And then there's other people that are like, we started tracing it way back here.
Yeah.
And so then you're just like, well, motherfucker. That's like one of those unanswerable questions.
Huh.
Interesting. What would you rather be? Feared by everybody or loved and adored by everybody?
I would say loved and adored.
I agree with you.
Just because...
I mean, feared would be kind of cool to just be like, nobody fucks with me. And you'd get people to do shit that you wanted them to do out of fear. Yeah, if
everybody feared you.
And but... there would be times where, like, being loved by everybody would be like, holy fuck, get the fuck off me. There was actually a Fairly Odd Parents episode on that where everybody loved Timmy Turner.
There's also a Rick and Morty episode about it.
Where everybody loves him.
Everybody loves Morty.
Oh, yeah.
He does the little chemical compound to get, what's her fuck, the red-haired girl.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I can't.
But, yeah.
So... and there would definitely be issues with people not liking you, or with everybody liking you, and there would be lots of issues with everybody. I feel like they would be very similar, actually, when you really got down to it. They would have an equal amount of, like...
Right, because if you're feared, everyone's going to do what you say, and if everybody loves you, they're going to want to do what you say. It's just the different end of the spectrum. Fear is, I'm going to do it because he said so, and then love either is, way, I'm going to do it because I want to do it
for him. Either way, you're going to get everything you want, but then outside of that... one way you're gonna be like, I wish people wanted to be here, and then the other way you're gonna be like, I wish people would not want to fucking be.
Yeah.
And so
it's just which path you could hold your own with better.
Yeah, what can you personally deal with?
People being
oversaturated with people, or knowing that nobody really likes you, they're just kind of afraid of you.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's pretty much for our segments and our talks. We're going to go ahead and jump into the end of our podcast, which is a review of our beer today, which is Coconut Cream Ale by Schlafly.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb highline poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Okay, like I said, we are reviewing the Coconut Cream Ale by Schlafly, St. Louis Brewing Company. This is a 12 fluid ounce bottle. It's a special release beer. And, yeah, kind of a basic labeling. Kind of looks old school,
yes,
me. Basic brown bottle. Got an old school paper.
It's got texture to it.
Yeah, it's kind of just feels like rough old parchment paper.
Mm-hmm. It's a 5.5 alcohol percentage beer. So it's a little bit higher than your standard ones.
as a big fan of coconut, I don't taste a lot of coconut.
Neither do I. It actually just tastes like a standard ale.
Yeah.
However, it says it's brewed with the fire toasted coconuts to create this hazy golden desert beer.
It's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't taste any coconut in it.
Yeah,
it just tastes like a beer. A standard beer is what it tastes like.
Yeah, there's nothing that... Normally, stuff with coconut, the coconut really stands out. It's a pretty, overwhelming flavor.
Yeah, it's prominent.
I don't have a lot of coconut flavor in this. And it's not like... I don't taste like creaminess either.
No.
So for the name Coconut Cream Ale, it's a misleading name, but it's not a bad beer. For the name...
Yeah,
it doesn't live up to its name very well. Not a terrible beer. It's a little heavier than some ales.
Yeah.
It's not like a light beer.
Yeah, I'm actually really disappointed with it. Because when you see like a coconut cream ale, that even when you set it at the store, it's like, that sounds delicious. I want to try that. But now that I've had it, man, I'm actually really disappointed. It's way less than what I was expecting.
Yeah, it's not what we were expecting. Not a terrible beer. But when you're expecting one flavor and it doesn't live up to that flavor,
it hurts it.
It hurts it. So it's going to hurt the score a little bit.
Yeah.
Would you drink this again?
If it was offered to me, I probably won't ever buy it again.
Yeah?
If somebody had it in the fridge and I didn't bring beer and they're like, you want a drink? And I opened up and saw it, I'd have one of those. But I'm not going to go out of my way to get this one.
This one for me, because it's not a bad beer... And so it would get a higher score if it had a different name. But the fact that it's called a coconut cream ale and it doesn't live up to either of those tastes, this one's getting, out of a 10, a 5.2.
For me, it's getting a 3.1.
3.1. So that's the lowest score I think either of us have given so far.
I think our first one, we both gave it in the threes. It was that orange one.
Ripple?
Yeah, Ripple.
No, I don't think we even gave it down to the threes.
Was it in the fours?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit higher than that. I think this right now, which is surprising because I like this beer more than the Ripple, but the fact that it doesn't live up to its name... Oh, no, you're right, a 3.2 and a 3.4, so that's pretty low overall. So those were pretty low scores. This one's getting a decently low score. Like I said, I would drink this over that Ripple... 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I would drink this over the Ripple, but I mean...
The fact that it doesn't live up to the flavors that it advertises kills
it. The Ripple didn't disappoint me as much as this one did. I'll say that. The Ripple had a shiny can of stuff that looked good, but this, the name of it and how it looked, I was really expecting a lot more flavor out of it than what you got.
Got your hopes up and you let down.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So what were our final scores?
A 5.1.
And I said 3.1.
I think I give it higher, but I'm giving it a 5.1 right now.
Okay. I'm giving it a 3.1.
Yeah. So we will put those averages up. We'll have a picture of these on the Instagram if you want to check that out and see what kind of beers we were having. We'll have some pictures on Facebook for some of the other segments we talked about. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We will be back next week with another episode.
That was my bad. I didn't know that would do that.
And we hope you guys have a great week.
Yay!
Inside the pocket of clowns.